I'm glad for the leadership of the Holy Spirit. I'm glad for the Bible, glad for the church. Those are the things that stabilize my life. Those are also the things that are mocked and ridiculed by the world that we live in. They think this is crazy. Come in here and sing songs and listen to each other stand up and cry and testify, and then listen to a family tell about serving the Lord in an African village when they could be over here in the States achieving the American dream. This world thinks we're crazy, but I'm glad that what's seen is temporal, what's not seen is eternal. And I say that every service, usually more than once, because I am at a stage in life where the Lord has confirmed in my heart the reality of living your life for things that have eternal value. And that's why I preach it and teach it and talk about it so often to you. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 3, we're going to read verses 1 through 8. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. You could define perilous as dangerous. You would be doing no harm to the Scripture. And I want to point something out to you. Sister Todd was talking about 1970 and 1972 and all of that. My folks got into a Bible-believing church around 69, 68, 69, right in there. Over 50 years ago, our pastor in Tampa, Florida, when he would read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, would say, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." And he would stop and say, "May I gently tell you, perilous times have come." He said that 50 plus years ago. I was studying, reading, and praying for this message, and I thought, what would Brother Rollins say about today? Lost people had a sense of decency and respect 50 years ago. And boy, our society has come a long way and not in the right direction. Verse number 2, men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. We're going to stop our reading there, but the message is going to come from all of 2 Timothy chapter 3. In verses 1 through 8, you have a very clear, vivid description of the world in which we live. And if it wasn't for the fact that I am now a granddaddy, I would be content just to say, I'm saved, I'm preaching the truth, anybody who comes and hears me is going to have an opportunity to be saved. My children, their spouses profess to be saved. I wouldn't be as concerned about the perilous times we're living in. But there's a reason I am, Harold. It's those grandbabies. I claim Matthew and Caitlin's as mine. So that means I've got 5 granddaughters. They've got one on the way. Adam and Bethany told us that they have another one on the way. We're praying his last name is Reigns. Somebody say amen right there. So I've got 5 little girls. They've got a little boy, hopefully another little boy, but we'll be okay if it's not. I tell you what, I worry about them growing up in these perilous times. Let me tell you about the perilous times they're growing up in. I don't know if it happened during this year's riots, because sometimes people would use pictures from previous riots, but it's not a statement they're ashamed of. So it's not a statement I'm ashamed to tell you about. But Preacher Raines, in some of their riots these days and in the last few years, they'll proudly wave a placard that says, if Jesus comes back again, we'll kill Him the second time. That's the perilous times we're living in. The women's march that they have either the week before or the week after the Parade for Life in January each year in Washington, D.C. The women's march that they've had for the last few. The paraphernalia. The posters. The slogans they chant are so filthy. I would not repeat them if I was with the men of our church. There's no way I would utter it around our women and children. I wouldn't even say it to the men of this church. They are so filthy and vulgar and vile. Women used to have a sense of decency and respect. We live in a culture now they don't even respect themselves. That's not an out for a man to be inappropriate. But God help us with a day when a woman doesn't even respect herself. And that one, the first woman's march they had a few years ago, Judd, which one of the singers did the little chant, little poem, whatever she called it, I'm a nasty woman. And went on and on and on and on with how nasty she was and how proud she was of it. God forbid that that go on in the United States of America. We're not talking about a country with no Bible. We're not talking about a country that doesn't have a motto that says, in God we trust. We're not talking about a country where they did not, as our founding fathers did, meet in Philadelphia and in a sweltering hot room in July with all the chaos and the arguing going on. One raised their hand and said, I can tell you what we forgot to do. We forgot to pray. We're not talking about godless places. We're talking about places with a heritage. So I am here to tell you, Matthew, you are going to raise Bright and you are going to raise that little boy and any other children the Lord may give you. You're going to raise them in a nation, in a world that is full of perilous times. And we need to nail down what we believe and why we believe it. And I just want to take you to God's Word and point out some things. I want you to look in verse number 9. Verses 1 through 8 was the horrible description. Look in verse 9, but they. Look in verse number 10, but thou. Look in verse number 13, but evil men and seducers. Look in verse number 14, but continue thou. Look in verse number 15, and that. If you noticed in verse 9, 10, 13, 14, the verse started with the conjunction, but. If you noticed in verse number 15, the verse started with the conjunction, and. So we have four uses of the conjunction, but, one use of the conjunction, and. And a conjunction, you know this, is a part of speech that ties what's being said with what was already said. Well, if verses 9 through the end of the chapter have conjunction after conjunction after conjunction, what are they tying back to? They're tying back to verse number 1, which says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. We see these perilous times around us and are we supposed to hide? Are we supposed to go to Montana and get a 15,000 acre ranch and live right in the middle of it? In favor, say aye. The hunting's good. Amen. But yeah, hey, that sounds good to me. The only problem is God didn't call me to Montana. God put me here. Now I'd go. Okay, but God's put me here. And even if you go into the middle of a 15,000 acre ranch, you're going to have to come out twice a year and get supplies. And you're going to see the evil and the wickedness that is all around us. So I want us to look at these conjunctions and find in them the answers that we are to follow when perilous times surround us. You can answer me out loud. If you like, are you bothered by what you see going on in our nation? the mockery of everything that is good, everything that is true, the foolishness that goes on, and killing police, hurting police, attacking them, and do they all make the right decision in the spur of the moment when they're faced with all that? My dad was a Tampa City police for 6 years. He said, "Son, that was back in the old days when Wyatt Earp was on duty." He said, "Son," he said, "you're faced with a moment, and in just a split second, you have to make a decision of what you're going to do." And if you did what your training told you 40 or 50 years ago, and you saw it, you made a decision and you went with it. If you're a thinker now, these days, before you make that decision, you realize that your buddy that made the same decision 6 months ago is serving a life sentence. So they don't just weigh the situation. They look down the road and they think about that wife and two children back at the house. That's the day we're living in. That's the day we're living in, and it's perilous. So we need to look to God's Word for the answers. Look at verse 9. Please, as we go through these conjunctions, link each one with perilous times. Perilous times. Perilous times. Verse 9. "But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was." This is the conjunction of exposure. The conjunction of exposure. Jannes and Jambres, when Moses went before King Pharaoh, the world's only superpower at the time. Okay, so that would be the equivalent of you or I walking in unannounced, uninvited to the Oval Office. That's what Moses did. He walks in to Pharaoh and says, "God said, let my people go." And he says, "Who's God and who are your people?" And then he starts showing those miracles to make it clear that he was a follower of the one true God. Jannes and Jambres were the magicians in the court of Egypt, in Pharaoh's court, that imitated the miracles that Moses fulfilled. It wasn't just, "Oh, you can do it, we can do it better." No, no, no. They were withstanding him. And that's why they come back up several thousand years later in the book of 2 Timothy. And it said, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, these people are going to withstand you that stand for the truth. I promise you, if you've stood for the truth, you've got a family member, you've got a friend, you've got a co-worker or a neighbor, a family member, a friend, a co-worker or a neighbor who has withstood you for believing the truth. Truth is not popular these days. The truth that we're a sinner and our only hope is Jesus. When people want to believe their hope can be in Mary. When people want to believe their hope can be in Muhammad. When people want to believe their hope can be in good works. And you say, "My hope is only in Jesus." That is not a popular message. And they will withstand you. But look in your Bible. Look in verses 8 and 9. It says, they withstood him. It said, but their evil shall be manifest unto all. And here's what I want you to see about the conjunction of exposure. Though if you are let's do what we did in message 1 this morning. If we're standing for the truth, let's do it with the right spirit. Do it with the right spirit. Let them find a fault with my message, not with my bad attitude. But if you're standing for what's right and they are withstanding you, I am here to tell you their day of judgment is coming. There, if they don't repent and turn to the truth, their day of judgment is coming. And before it was all over, Jannes and Jambres were made to look like fools. And God made it clear that Moses was His man. And I am here to tell you, I'm here to encourage you that when we are living in perilous times and we are the offscouring of the earth, and those who hold on to truth, those that believe life begins at conception, those that hold on to all manner of truth, and you're made to look foolish, and we've been told for a year we don't believe in science. That is simply not true. My God created all this earth. If you want a science lesson, we'll go to Genesis 1. Okay, you understand what I'm saying? My point is, stand for the truth. Don't buckle. Don't give in. I told you Wednesday night, I asked Brother Johnny Jones, I said, "Brother, you've been coming here 10 years. Do you have any advice?" He said, "Stay the course. Don't give in to the pressure of this world to cave in and compromise in the wrong way," as Brother Brett was teaching in Sunday school. Look in verse number 10. "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my charity, my patience." Please don't miss this one. It'll be brief, but don't miss it. Number one, the conjunction of exposure. Evil will one day be exposed for all that it is. And I encourage you, I exhort you, I plead with you, be on the right side of the fence when that day comes. Secondly, in verse number 10, the conjunction of example. Right in the middle of a very dark chapter, Paul stops and gets real personal and says to Timothy, he says, "Timothy, you've known me. You've known my doctrine. You knew what I taught. You've known my manner of life. You knew how I lived from day to day to day." He said, "You've known that it was more than just a creed that I believed. You've known that it was my life, that this was who I am, that this is what would cause me to make very hard decisions and stick with them because it was down in my heart." And I am so glad this family is here today. And let me tell you why. God has brought into every one of our lives examples who Jesus was number one. If that meant bury a 3.5-year-old in the sandy soil of Africa and lift your hand and sing, "I'd rather have Jesus than this world." If it meant that, if it meant going on alone when those who said they'd love you and be with you forsook you, they went on. You understand what I'm saying? And Paul said to Timothy, he said, "Timothy, I'm not just your Bible college teacher that you saw a couple hours a week." He said, "You know me. And you know that this is real in my life." I was a jail chaplain for 7 years. In 7 years, I don't think I could estimate how many men I sat with and counseled. And they'd say, "I was brought up in church, chaplain. My daddy ran off with so-and-so, and I got bitter at God. My pastor was like a daddy to me, and he took all the church's money. My grandma, she used to do this, and then we found out she wasn't what she..." They all had a story of somebody who had let them down. And those would rattle me, Elijah, because I didn't grow up that way. My parents were real. I was around real people that were sincere. And Seth, I'd struggle. The Holy Ghost gave me a real good answer for him one day. Every time one of them would say that, I'd say, "Was there somebody in your life who was the real deal?" And in 7 years, never once did I ask that question that a lip didn't start to quiver and a tear got in the eye. And I've told you this before, and let me tell you again. They'd bow their head and they'd say, "Yes, I knew a real one. My Sunday school teacher was real. My uncle was real. This person was real." Every one of them said that one was the real deal. Come what may, come the trials of life, come the hardships, that person was real. I said, "You've chosen to let the one who wasn't real be your excuse for going to the world." And I said, "If you want an excuse to live for Jesus, you've had good examples in your life too." And Ethan, all I can tell you is, they sat there and said, "Chaplain, you're exactly right." I said, "So you chose." I said, "You chose this road because this is the road you wanted to take." I said, "So remember those good examples and choose to follow them." So all I want you to see is in the middle, tie it back to verse 1. Look at verse 1. Tie verse 10 back to verse 1. In the middle of perilous times, follow your good examples. You don't have to look back and on this messed up world we're going and going, "Man, this is crazy. This is the craziest stuff I've ever seen in my life. I'm just..." Boy, those people out there in the world, they look like they're having a ball. That's what abortion's about. Life with no consequences. I lived in the upstate for all those years, and they say, "Choice. Choice, choice, choice." She had a wreck when she was 10 weeks along with our first baby. And the doctor said, "We need an ultrasound. We need to make sure." He said, "I don't think there's a problem, but I want to be sure." And 19, she was born in June of 86, so this would have been fall of 85. I don't even know what the equipment looked like then, probably something from gun smoke. And they did that ultrasound. The baby breath, 10 weeks. Now, I know my grandchildren are smarter than yours, but this one, this is pretty amazing right here. 10 weeks, and they got it on that baby, and there she was, Ethan, and she starts doing this. And the doctor said, she's waving at us. I said, that doesn't surprise me. I have smart kids. 10 weeks. Do you remember the size of a 10 week? What are these fruits? Pecan? Really? Wow. So there's my little pecan sized baby waving her hand at me. Somebody else say glory. And there I was, this young daddy, and I said, man, that is waving its arm. There was its head, its brain. There was a little trunk and a little heart in there. And I said, wow, that is amazing. I went home and wrote a letter to the editor. Greenville, that's when people read newspapers. I said, I've switched to pro-choice. Wrote it. They put it in the Greenville News. I said, I'm pro-choice. I said, but here's the problem between the difference between me and you. The choice was made 10 weeks ago. Need a good witness right there. I said, the choice was made 10 weeks ago. I said, the reason they call themselves pro-choice, they don't want to accept the consequences of their choice. And I said, when I watched a picture of my 10-week-old, I didn't say fetus. Okay, they do all those terms so we think it's not a big deal. Okay, the Bible says with child. So, Brother Wayne, are you running a rabbit? No, absolutely not. These are perilous times that we live in, and I want to remind you, you've got some good examples, and those good examples taught you accept responsibilities for your actions. Parents, you can start that when they're little, and you won't have so many headaches when they're 10 years older. Chris and I decided, we said, we're going to deal with some things between 2, 3, and 4 that we hope we don't have to deal with between 12, 13, and 14. You just do what God wants you to do with that. Look in verse 13. You're listening well. I sure do appreciate it. But evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse. Are you kidding me? Really? Worse and worse? It ain't bad enough? No, you know why they get worse and worse? They think they get away with something. The worst thing that ever happens to you is to think you got away. Ecclesiastes, because sentence, that's a legal term. Because sentence against an evil work is delayed, the heart of man is fully set to do evil. And see, how long we've been preaching Jesus is coming? Our grandparents shouted the aisles in these mountain churches 100 years ago when the preachers say Jesus is coming again. We've been preaching it for a long time. And Peter had to address that. He said, don't think that God's slack. That's a modern day word, isn't it? Slack. He said, don't think God's slack just because Jesus hadn't returned. He said, he's not slack the way y'all are. He said, he's holding back his wrath and his judgment because he is a merciful God. Not willing that, say it with me, any should perish. He wants his bride. He wants to come back and get her. He wants to live forever, happily ever after. He is holding back because there are so many lost people. He's given another chance to hear the gospel, repent, and be saved. He's wanting her to get back over there and tell them about Jesus. Say amen. Hallelujah. What a God we serve. And in the meantime, the evil men and the seducers, they're going, I know what Granny said, but there ain't no lightning struck me yet. Hadn't had a car wreck and run off the bridge yet. So they just keep living in sin. Keep living in sin, waxing worse and worse. The conjunction of excess. When you think you get away, oh, gentlemen, listen to the preacher. When you flirt and nothing bad happens between work and home, if you got T-boned, you'd go, I'll bet it's because I flirted. I don't mind preaching right down where we live. You know why I do it sometimes, Ethan? To paint myself in a corner. Keep myself out of trouble, Brother David. You do something say something inappropriate at work, or somebody's inappropriate you, and instead of nipping it in the bud, you encourage it. Oh yeah, I don't care if you're 14 or 34. We know how to nip it, and we know how to encourage it. Stand up. Sermon illustration. Tall, as good looking as you are, personality, those teeth. Great day. What those teeth cost you? You'll be the talk of the hospital. All 4,000 employees at Spartanburg Regional. I'd make it real clear. I've got a wife and babies, and I love Jesus. Just make it real clear day one. Speak in tongues if you have to. Whatever it takes. Just make it real clear. Me and Jesus got a good thing going. And I ain't interested in you. Because excess, the conjunction of excess, between those perilous times and Jesus coming to get us, the evil workers are going to... I don't know what's going down right now with politics, but let me tell you something. The forces of darkness are having a heyday. And I'm not saying that President Trump was born again, washed in the blood, but I'm telling you, he stood on some things that were moral for the country, if not in his own life. We know that. I'm no fool. Let me tell you something. When you want babies to be born and laid on the table, and that spinal cord severed, and that's a documented fact, that's evil. That is a deep form of evil. That's not politics. That's Bible. I'm not preaching politics. I'm preaching Bible. That's life. And God says preserve life. That's what God said. Conjunction of exposure. The conjunction of example. The conjunction of excess. Look at verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. The very plain and simple conjunction of exhortation. And what is that? Continue in the things which thou hast learned. If God has impressed something on my heart in the last 4 weeks, it is from that day when Zephaniah was over here and Preacher Raines and Brother Smith were over here. And I read to the first line of 1 John 5:13. I've written unto you that believed on the name of the Son of God. I said, Zeph, how'd you get saved? And in a manner of words for a young person, he said, believed on Jesus. And then we went to the end of the verse. And I said, Brother Raines, Brother Smith, what are y'all supposed to be doing? Read it. It's in 1 John 5:13. Believe on the name of the Son of God. And God said, keep doing what you did. Keep doing what you always did. And Paul said to Timothy, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Boys, you're old enough. There's probably some more. Crystal, you're old enough. You're going to have peers that'll mock the way you're trying to live. Most of them are old enough to have already received the repercussions and the fruit of that wicked life. And without being ugly to them for those choices they've made, you can say it in your own heart, I've seen where your choices have landed you. I'm just going to stay on this path. Not everybody at that Christian college is Christian. You figured that out? Not everybody in the Christian conservative halfway holiness homeschool group is Christian. Did you know that? Make up your mind you're going to live for Jesus. I'd counsel young people at our Christian school. I'd see the choices they were making. I'd say, why are you going down that road? Mr. Raines, I'm smarter than the other ones. I said, what about your cousin? I'm smarter than she was. I'd get closer to home. I'd say, what about your siblings? Oh, Mr. Raines, they were stupid. I was always the smartest one in the family. I'm not going to end up like they did. In some cases, I'd have to say, what about your mom and dad? And they'd go, Brother Raines, that was a dumb decision they made. I won't fall in the pitfalls they fell in. No exceptions. No exceptions in nearly 20 years of that ministry. They never avoided the pitfalls. They never avoided. Nobody avoided the pitfall. So I'm here to exhort you. What do you do in perilous times? Continue in the things which thou hast learned. Continue in the things which thou hast learned. Continue in the things which thou hast learned. I'm through. 15, verse 15. Conjunction. All the first four were but. Look in verse number 15. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Look in verse 16. All the conjunction of exaltation. What's he exalting? the Word of God. Listen to me, I'm not making this up. My wife can vouch for it. A few weeks ago, I'd heard four. Two directly, two indirectly, on the importance of Bible reading and prayer. And I'm going, amen. That's good. But August, I sat there and I said, do we really need to be reminded about that? I'm not trying to impress you. I was like, wow. That was up until 3 weeks ago. Then we were in a meeting, a four-day meeting together that I have had the privilege of preaching the last few years in North Georgia. Three messages in 1 week on staying in your Bible. I want to say two things, and I don't want the first one to be hurtful. Church, we should have nailed that down a long time ago. But if you didn't, nail it down today. Please, I'm not insulting you. If it's not nailed down in your life that you need God's Word every day, nail it down today. And then a prayer life. You got to talk to God. Some people spend hours alone in a prayer closet, them and Jesus. If you can do that, wonderful. Some people pray all day. All I'm asking you is get a prayer life, be communion with God. But right there at the end of that chapter, look, I've closed my Bible. If yours is open, look at it. Is it 15, 16, and 17? He goes full, first verse, perilous times. Where does he end up at the end of the chapter? Your Bible. Let me tell you how real this book is. I have had things perplex me. This week didn't bother me that much. I don't know why. Something crazy will probably bother me next week. I guess it messed with her mind, probably because of the grandbabies. And maybe she needed me. So next week I'll be in the pits of despair, and I'll need her. But she's listening to that news one morning, and they say the same thing over and over. Yeah. I said, honey, you understand where we stand right now? She said, yeah. I said, can I give some husbandly advice? She said, yeah. I said, turn it off. She switched from that station to BBN. And BBN's got some music. It's a little highbrow for me, but some guy was going, how great thou art, how great thou art. I don't sing that way. None of us do. And if anybody did, you know, we'd want your autograph or something. I'm sure that took a lot of practice. But there we heard, how great thou art. And then some guy said, turn in your Bibles. This was a pre-recorded message to James. Did a 15-minute message on the book of James. I saw her. I went in and got my shower. I saw her 20 minutes later. You know what she was doing? Humming. Singing. It was the old Chris. Old is a relative term. I said, honey, you don't need to hear that same thing over and over and over and over and over. I said, they're crazy. And they want us to go crazy with them. I said, you need the Word. And one song of an operatic version of How Great Thou Art and a 15-minute message from James just lifted her spirits. You need God's Word.